The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier rehabilitation, physical therapy, and chiropractic facility, located in the heart of Center City, Philadelphia. Here are your hosts, Joe Kraus, Marla Vitarello, and Joe Dougherty.
All right, welcome to the Pain and Wellness Show, my friends. Yeah, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. As you know, our fearless team member, Joe Kraus, is in rehabilitation himself with a double knee replacement. So Marla Vitarello and myself are going to be carrying the torch for Joe, and certainly we have a great show today.
We miss you, Joe. Hope you're feeling well.
And I'll tell you, anybody who's had a knee replacement, Joe had a double knee replacement, and my father had a double knee replacement. And during that time, and I know as a registered nurse, I'm sure you've seen a lot of this, Marla, but they say that if you have two bad knees, that you got to get them both done, because if you only get one done, you'll never get the other one done.
Right, right. And you know, that's actually a good point, too, because really the rehabilitation, if you have a right knee replacement, the left one, a lot of times you're compensating. So you can further injury the other side, too, trying to baby your right knee.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And certainly, I would have loved, and I think maybe for next week's show, I'd love to get, so Joe's surgery is about a week. It was a week today.
He sounds awesome, by the way. But, I mean, he's like a true champion hero coming out of this surgery. Like, it didn't even, like, touch him.
Well, he's a bulldog.
He is.
He's
his voice even sounded deeper, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm good.
he did say that it felt like he had 200-pound weights on each leg. And,
tough.
But it is definitely tough, but certainly we're thinking of him, and I talk to him on a daily basis. And if you didn't know, like you just said, if you didn't know better, you would not know, because Joe is not a crybaby. You know, he like sucks it up like there's no tomorrow. But he did say, obviously, it's rough. And so we're thinking about you, buddy. We'd like to get you calling into the broadcast. I know that you're going through therapy every day, and that's going to be for a long time. But would like to hope. I would love to see if he's okay next week to do a little call. And interesting, because we have the guests on today's show, Michael Luber of Luber Law. Michael was one of our Who's Who honorees, great lawyer, does both work comp and personal injury. And so Michael will be on at the quarter after mark of the show. And then Dr. Albert Talone, we're going to talk about the gastro flu that's going around.
It's a tough thing right now. That's all you're hearing. It's going around in schools.
Yeah, and that's the thing, especially, when you have kids like yourself. And certainly, I've nephews and nieces, and it seems like when they catch something, I like to go over and visit, and next thing you know, I'm laid up in bed, mostly
around
Christmas time.
You have stomach pain or you're sneezing.
Yeah, right.
It's like one or the other, and it seems like they just never get better, because they all start passing it around. Mm-hmm. Kids just don't wash their hands like adults
do. And they're around other kids, and so that's what happens. And so we'll have Dr. Talone coming on at the end of the hour, and he's going to give his segment there, and we're going to talk about that. But also, so one of the things that Marla and I talked about, Marla is a registered nurse, but also represents Weinerman Pain and Wellness on the broadcast, and that's our sponsor. And we want to do a little, in the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show, just a little bit of an about our sponsor type of segment, because you hear us say, you're brought to you by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries, and I think I'm pretty sure Joe Kraus is going to, I'm not 100% sure, but he's going to be doing a little rehab there, and
we'll take good care of him,
right? And so Weinerman Pain and Wellness being our sponsor, wanted to kind of talk a little bit about them in the first couple minutes of the show, and Marla, as you're a obviously a representative of Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Tell us a little bit about the facility and about what Weinemann Pain and Wellness does.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, a sincere thank you to Weinemann Pain and Wellness for allowing this show to happen and being our title sponsor here.
Sure.
Allowing us to put the education out in our Philadelphia area. We have been in practice for a very long time. And as you know, I'm an RN. I'm director of business relations there. And I personally look for a facility that has great doctors, great care, communication that's impeccable. And that is why I chose to work for this facility, because Dr. Brent Weinerman, Dr. Albert Talone, they are fantastic doctors, very well known in our industry. You know, we have a specialty, and we really work with workers' compensation patients, patients that were injured in accidents, whether they're motor vehicle, personal injury, et cetera. And the most important thing is that we understand how the system works, what is needed for these patients, and not to put down any other doctor in any other fashion, but just to say that it takes a lot of time, and your staff must be specially trained in how to handle these cases. And Weinerman Pain and Wellness has this down to a T.
And the interesting thing is when you're dealing with the injured worker, or you know, the injury victim who gets injured in a car accident or in other particular slip and fall or whatever, bicycle accident, you're dealing with not only a physical situation, but you're dealing also a lot of times with a legal situation. And you mentioned understanding the system and understanding the what they're going to go through. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a big part of dealing with patients that come in, because you're not just dealing with an injury, mm-hmm. and an emotional type situation. You're dealing with the stress of having to, navigate in either an unfortunately, and by the way, as we all know, insurance and healthcare in any industry, even if it's general healthcare, mm-hmm. is a stressful thing these days, no question about it. But in this type of industry, they're pushing back hard.
It's an uphill battle. I mean, when you look at the typical injured client, there's a lot of things going on here. Not only is the physical injury obviously an issue, but there's a legal component many times. And then you have the emotional and psychological component too, which our doctors and staff, we respond to that. We understand that these patients, yes, if they have a workers' comp injury, whether it be a knee or a hand or a foot, they maybe not be able to go back to work at the capacity that they were used to doing. There's a real psychological factor there too. You have to know how to treat these patients the right way, being able to make them feel comfortable in their setting, because a lot of times this is the first time someone is in a medical legal situation where they need to have counsel and things like that involved. So our job is to support them. Our job is to make sure that they get great and fantastic, impeccable care, get back to work as quickly as possible, and understand the system and be supportive for whatever needs that they may have.
And the interesting thing is, and you're right, medical/legal situation, most doctors, family doctors or whatever, a lot of times when you talk about medical and legal, they although maybe qualified doctors, they don't understand what is going on and what type of pushback mm-hmm. this particular individual is going to get. Now, that individual right. may be sitting there, and they may have, a busted knee or back or neck or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming when you when Weinemann Pain and Wellness is treating somebody, they obviously they'll invoice the workers' comp carrier or the insurance company, but they'll understand also that sometimes they won't get paid right away, and they're not throwing the patient out of the office.
That's right.
And that's right. A big deal.
And a lot of people don't realize that. These hospital systems, and listen, I'm a Thomas Jefferson graduate, and there's other Ivy League schools and hospitals in this area. If that claim is not open and you don't have a good backup commercial plan, guess what? They're not taking you for care.
Right.
So it's very, even though, those are great facilities, I'm absolutely, they provide great care, but you have to meet certain criteria to get in there. And it's very, to me, that's biased.
Sure.
You know, what, when you look at the typical workers' comp patient, someone who's injured, there's some degree of brainwashing that goes on.
And, sure. and
I'm just going to say it right out loud.
Intimidation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say that right out loud. I mean, there is some brainwashing that goes in, and a lot of people have heard this before. I have to treat with the company doctors for 90 days before I can see. Well, think what happens in those 3 months.
Oh, my God.
There's so much that goes on. The doctors see the patients, and then we are in a situation where, you know, the care is being, I'll use the word altered for whatever reason. Maybe all the, you know, maybe the right diagnostic testing isn't as aggressive and things like that. But the truth of the matter is there are some criteria that people do not have to treat with a panel physician in the first 90 days. They'd have to sign an agreement at the time of their employment and at the time of injury.
Right. So that this, in order to have to
that's
do that.
A small percentage of people, but they don't know it.
Right. And that's the thing. And that's what, you know, when you get the opportunity, if you unfortunately get injured, to go to a place like Guantanamo Pain and Wellness, they understand the rules and the laws. They understand, they work with the attorneys,
right.
But they're treating for the injury because they care about the individual.
Right. It's the patient that right. we're in it for.
Right.
So we're, 90 days or not, we don't care.
And you're not getting paid. You're not on payroll
with the insurance
carrier. So your job is not just to get this individual back to work, whether they're injured or not. You're trying to make them, whole again so that they can get back to work. And real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, when you talk about the doctors at Wineman Pain and Wellness, and you talk about the facility, mm-hmm. The facility itself is impeccable.
Right. Well, let's start with Brent Weinerman, who is the founder of this practice. Brent has a plethora of experience. Everyone knows and depends on him because he gives excellent expert care. And, you know, Brent is a member of the Pennsylvania Pension and Retirement Board for Philadelphia and Pennsylvania.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's very educated and knowledgeable. He has the most delicate bedside manner.
Oh, he does. He's
I mean,
incredible.
Really, he's a true gentleman, and he's a wonderful person, both personally and professionally. As far as our facility, when you walk into our facility, we're at the Land Title Building, which is 100 South Broad Street.
Right.
We provide transportation for our patients and means for them to get there. And we absolutely welcome everyone. We want them to feel at home when they're in our practice. And when you look at the equipment and the amount of investment, we really look at rehabilitation in another way.
Sure.
We want these patients to get well, get better, back up on their feet as quickly as possible, but also feel at home.
All right. And that's Weinerman Pain and Wellness. That's us, the sponsor of the Pain and Wellness Hour. And that's why we say serious doctors for serious injuries. We'll be back with Michael Luber after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years. And you know, I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
608 to 9010-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour. This is Joe Dougherty with my lovely co-host, Marla Vitarella.
Hello, hello.
And so I'm happy to bring on to the program Michael Luber of Luber Law, who's one of our Who's Who honorees for 2017. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
It's always great to have you. Michael is one of the most passionate attorneys. Your passion and your fire. After you get done listening to Michael Luber, this is the kind of individual you want representing you. And Mike, if you will, tell everybody, refresh everybody, a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Sure. I am a personal injury attorney. I do complex personal injuries such as construction accidents, some medical malpractice, motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, or any personal injury action, as well as workers' compensation. I'll give you a little bit about my background, Joe, and I know you know a little bit about it.
Sure.
I started out over 40 years ago as a public defender in the city of Philadelphia, where I worked for 2 years and gained wonderful trial experience. After that, I went to the other side, and I became a deputy attorney general for the Department of Justice, where I prosecuted criminal cases as well as civil cases. Thereafter, I began my civil practice. I was also a special assistant attorney general for the Department of Labor and Industry for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for 4 years. And the rest of those 40 years have been as a civil trial lawyer, which is what I do today.
It's amazing.
I try all of my own cases. I have assistants, but when you get me, you get me in the courtroom to fight for you.
And Michael, let's talk about the types of individuals that you represent that retain your services. What types of situations are they going through?
Well, in many cases, okay, let's take a lot of these individuals who are injured on the job. These are workers who are injured on the job, so they have a workers' comp claim, but they are also injured as a result of negligence of either the property owner or the construction manager or the safety manager on site, so they may have a cause of action against them as well. And so we handle the workers' comp portion of the case to get them benefits from their employer, medical and wage benefits, but More importantly, we go against the negligent party, whether it be the safety manager on site, the construction management company, who was responsible for the safe erection of the scaffolding, and we go after those people as well for the pain and suffering, embarrassment, the humiliation, the loss of life's pleasures, and any other long-term deficits that these poor injured workers may suffer as a result of the negligence of a third party. As you know, in the workers' comp area, you can only sue your employer for workers' comp and not pain and suffering, so you can only get your wage loss benefits and medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
But equally as important, if there's a culpable third party, we go after that person.
Mike,
for the pain and suffering and the larger portion of damages that we can obtain.
Mike, from your experience, so you've been in this industry for so long, and what a great background
too
that you
long,
have.
Too long, maybe.
It's never too long, but obviously you enjoy what you do. But what would you say is one of the biggest misconceptions when you're meeting with a client? Do you feel that these clients are brainwashed in one-way thinking, and how do you handle those patients or clients?
Well, yeah. Over the years, I mean, there's many different subjective feelings that these clients may voice to you, but one of them, which they may feel, is that they're that their case is worth $5 million. They may have read a headline in that fashion, and listen, there are cases such as those, but I think sometimes the clients may feel that there's some magic in that they're entitled to $5 or $10 million from something they've read in the newspaper. So I have to tell them, that your recovery is actually based on the nature and extent of your injuries, what the doctors will say, whether you have any loss of wages, and God forbid, whether you have any permanent disability that's going to affect you in the future. And
right.
So when we evaluate these cases, I don't tell the clients what I think the case is worth from the get-go, because I have to wait and see how it unfolds.
Right,
we don't know
process.
The nature and extent of the injury, whether there'll be permanency, whether they'll ever be able to return to their prior employment, whether they'll have permanent loss of use of motion, permanent pain, permanent deficits in terms of their ability to enjoy life's pleasures. So I explain this to them, and I say we have to take it as it goes. And then once you're done treating and we're in a position to see whether or not we have a great case against the, against the negligent party, because look, first and foremost, you have to be able to prevail. You have to be able to prove that party was negligent and the cause of your injuries. If
right.
you can't prove negligence, then you have no case regardless of the extent of the injuries.
Right, that's a great
but
point.
But we usually are in a pretty good position that we're able to show a negligence on the part of the culpable party.
Now, Joe, I'm Joe, by the way.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
I got that, Joe. You can call me Joe.
we all been called worse, I know.
Well, I'm always sitting in here with Joe and Joe. So
when you get an injury victim that comes in the office, and it's interesting because you're talking about somebody who suffers an injury on the job, and then you have, but there could be a third party element to it, and
sure.
Like Marla just said, there's a lot of misconceptions, people, but let's talk about not just the misconceptions, but let's talk about the naive and really the lack of, there's several, factors that when somebody gets injured on the job, and we talked about it one of the last times you were in talking about, the comprehensive approach of almost a forensic approach of looking at the overall case. How often do you run into individuals that get injured on a job that may have a third party case, and then you throw in the medical, they don't know that there's requirements for an employer to have to meet in order for them to treat with the employer's panel doctors, and they certainly don't know the difference. Often they don't know the difference between just a work comp and a third party work comp. How often does that happen, and how often?
All the time, Joe. All the time, and most of them don't realize that they have a third party case. And just as importantly, most of them don't realize that after 90 days, they don't have to treat with the panel doctors. They can treat with whomever they like. Let's face it, in my experience, and this is just my personal experience, these panel doctors that the employer requires the injured employee to treat with during the first 90 days after their injury are paid for by the employer. They're paid for and bought by the employer, and they're not really concerned about the nature and extent of the employee's injury. They're concerned about getting him back to work so he's no longer on workers' comp. That's their goal, and they're not objective, in my opinion, and they never have been objective.
You know what, Mike? I got to tell you.
And they aren't concerned about the nature and extent of the injured employee.
I have to tell you, Mike, you know, I've been a nurse for a very long time, and I caught a patient who was falling to the floor. This is when I worked in the hospital, which it'll remain unnamed. And
right.
I went to break the patient's fall, and I felt something pull on the left side of my neck. So I ignored it because I said, you know what, this is like in the mid-90s, so things were a little different back then. But I never made a big deal about it. And then as the shift went on, it started to really tighten up, and I was getting some numbness and tingling in my extremity. And I felt like I couldn't function well, you know, as to do the rest of my job. And I talked to my supervisor, and I said, look, something's up. You know, I said, I don't even feel safe moving a patient with this numbness and tingling and this pain coming down from my neck into my skull, too. So she says, oh, okay, no problem. Go down to Healthmark. Right downstairs in the hospital lobby. And by the way, Healthmark is no longer there. You know, and I went in, they did, you know, minimal examination. There were no studies that were ordered, no follow-up. He said, oh, you'll be fine. You could go ahead back up to work, no big deal.
Right.
And that was it, and that was years ago. So, I mean, I know it's changed a little bit now, but I never thought to question that process. You know, you trust your job.
It really hasn't changed that much, though, honestly.
Yeah.
The care that you get from the panel doctors and the company doctors is not, in most instances, in my opinion, appropriate. They don't do the proper testing, EMGs, to find out if there's nerve damage, MRIs, CAT scans. They give a peripheral physical examination and try to get the injured worker back to work as soon as possible without regard to the nature and extent of the injury and really making him well.
Right, and that's the thing. It's all about dollars and cents. It's the faster they could get me
it
back up.
It is all about dollars and cents.
But the interesting thing, and I've said this, I've questioned it. Michael, why – how can they get away with that, number one? I mean, the real thing is, and you know, how can they look at themselves in the mirror? But, and because of one thing you said 5 minutes ago was, you know, they're doing often a lot of that work without proper diagnostics. So you walk in, like Marla just said, and I've had, you know, and I know you've seen horror stories that, you know, they're unprecedented, but where these individuals are going into an office, they're injured, they're getting, you know, they're sending them back with Tylenol and no diagnostic testing, so they really don't know what they have. And that's not a coincidence.
Well, it's the head, shoulders, knees, and toes exam. You know,
but
it's
the
like,
question,
can you touch?
Why can't they be sued for malpractice?
Well, unfortunately, those panel doctors and the law is pretty much, it is very difficult to sue them for malpractice in those instances without getting into a lot of the legal garbage we go there. It can be done, but it's a long shot. They basically have a certain amount of immunity, believe it or not.
Of course they do.
You know,
of course they do, Mike. I mean, you know.
Been performing their examinations, what they call them independent medical examinations. I call them defense medical examinations.
That's it.
Because
exactly.
They're bought and paid for by the defense and the insurance companies.
I'll tell you
an interesting story real quick. Whether it be a worker's compensation matter or a third party case against someone, you know, a negligent party. They always, once it's in litigation and the defense attorney gets a hold of the case, of course, he asks for what they call an independent medical examination, which may take place 2 or 3 years after the injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a doctor who is paid and bought for by the defense attorney and the insurance company whom he represents pays this doctor. Well, 99% of the time, I can tell you what their reports are going to say because they're bought and paid for it. That these injuries are the result of pre-existing conditions and his disability, if he has any, are the result of pre-existing arthritis and not as a result of the injury in question. Every report, 99% of them are all the same.
Mike,
I don't need to even see him.
Mike,
I
don't
know
you think that
say beforehand.
If
that's no coincidence. I've seen about 10,000 of them.
Don't you think if the patients knew this up front, that the doctors were paid by the insurance company, don't you think that would really offset? I mean, people protest everything these days. You know, how about if they found that out and this was general public knowledge? Do you think that that would make a difference in our workers' compensation industry?
No, because the insurance industry is a very powerful lobby. They have they do everything they can to make as much money as possible. They couldn't give a hoot about the injured worker or his condition. They want him back to work, and if not, they want to pay him as little as possible, either workers' comp or a third-party case for his pain and suffering.
All right.
It's a simple matter of dollars and cents for them. The if you ever look at their profit and loss statements, you'd be astonished to find out how much money they do make. It's just astonishing, and they are very, very powerful. And as such, it's a fight all the time. I'm fighting with them day and night, either on a daily basis to get medical bills paid, to get my client's benefits paid, his loss of wages paid, and then in the courtroom to get hopefully a large and substantial recovery that he's entitled to as a result of the negligence of a third party.
Well, and by the way, I mean, you know, with our labor network, we're constantly fighting that, you know, the right-wing politicians that are supporting that type of legislation to protect those individuals who are constantly trying to take benefits away from your injured workers and injury victims. So it's a big money business. You just hit a lot, you know, on the head there. Mike, we're going to go to break. We're going to have more with Michael Luber in just a moment.
If you're injured and need rehabilitation to fully recover, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're suffering from a diagnosed disease that is causing you great discomfort, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They will provide transportation to and from their Center City office. If you are confused, if you are troubled by your medical challenges, or if you feel hopeless because others have made you feel that way, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step. A developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. Okay, I went through the practice sessions. I slept good. I feel good.
We will now begin the test. Please take out your pencils.
I got this.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you had the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help us get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver Zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness Series, Doctors for Serious Injuries. I'm Joe Doherty with my co-host, Marla Vittorello.
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday.
All right, we're talking to Michael Luber of Luber Law. And, Michael, when somebody's, when somebody's in, injured or they were hurt at work and they want to, when they're choosing an attorney, what do they get? You know, what can they expect when they contact Michael Luber?
Well, as I told you, they can expect an attorney who's been a trial lawyer for well over 40 years, who tries all his own cases, as I told you. I'm in the courtroom to fight. I don't settle cases unless we get a reasonable settlement, and I'm a trial lawyer. And insurance companies know that, and they know when they deal with me, they're dealing with somebody who's not going to settle cheaply and is going to go in, and if need be, go into court, whether it be a workers' compensation court or a jury trial in a serious civil litigation where a party is an individual is seriously injured. I'm going to go in and try that case before a jury.
Mike,
and I'll give you a couple of examples. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I love the energy. I love how fired up you are. I mean, this is great. This is what you want. When you retain a lawyer, you want somebody who's going to fight so hard for you. And, you know, with that kind of passion, you can really hear in your voice how much you care.
And the one thing I wanted to ask you is when I know the answer to this, but along with what Marla said, and that's a fact, Mike's absolutely one. Like, if you're going into a boxing ring, I want Michael Luber. If there's some kind of, I want...
I'm scared of him right now.
No, let me tell you something. You don't want to be on the...
Let me tell you something. Yeah, I get a little over-exuberant in the courtroom, but I think that's a good thing.
That's great.
Sure. So that's just my passion, and that's the way.
Well, but take it personally.
Right, but people are going to get Michael Luber. They're getting Michael Luber when they call Luber Law, correct?
Yeah, that's right. They're getting me with over 40 years experience as a former public defender, a former deputy attorney general with the Department of Justice, and a special assistant attorney general with the Department of Labor and Industry. And equally as important, over 40 years of civil trial experience.
Right. And I'm saying that because sometimes, with some of these, megalo firms, it may say Smith, and you'll never talk to a Smith. You
that's
may
exactly
get
exactly right.
And that's important because people may be hearing this interview and they may be going, great, this guy's amazing. Am I ever actually going to meet him, or am I going to meet a low run, new attorney who's coming in? And that's not the case with Luber Law.
And I can tell you that I will not settle a case unless I think it's a fair and reasonable settlement. I can't tell you, and I'm not naming names, and I certainly would never do that, how many clients have come to me with settlement offers that their attorneys have urged them to take, which I just, in my judgment, were ludicrously low and not a fair and reasonable settlement to compensate those injured victims for their pain or their suffering or for the significance of their injuries. And I'll tell them that's only my opinion, but I don't think that that's a fair settlement. And then, leave it up to them. But I just will not settle a case unless I think it's a fair and reasonable settlement.
Now,
there
Michael,
are times when a settlement is good, as long as it's fair and reasonable.
Now, when you want,
then you have to take them to court.
When somebody, we talked about this, when somebody gets injured or scared, a lot of things going on, they're uneducated, but they also, they're naive and they want to trust their employer, and there's so many things that they may think they can't sue during a work injury. And like we talked about before, if it's a third party case and the result, if you fell in a hole and some other employer or contractor that's not your own dug that hole, there could be a workers' comp third party case. Those are things that you, when you take a forensic approach to a case, that you clearly do. Tell me, what are some things?
Absolutely, Joe.
What are things people should not do?
We hire experts in all of these cases. If it's a workers' comp as well as a third party claim for injuries for the negligence of of either a contractor or a safety engineer on job site. We'll hire, we have a team of experts who I utilize over the course of these 40 years. One of whom is a terrific guy. He's actually out of Florida, but we bring him up. And he'll give us a comprehensive report as to the theory of liability, what this contractor did wrong, what the safety engineer failed to evaluate that caused the injuries to my client.
That's important. When somebody comes to you with a case, how do you vet that case before you determine whether it's a case or not?
Well, that's a good point. I take the write-up from the client, the injured client. I interview witnesses that may be available or have my investigator, and then I with my investigator may re-interview the witnesses. And then if it's a complex case where there's some question as to what the contractor who was not the employer of the injured party should have done in terms of safety violations, OSHA violations, I'll bring in an expert immediately and have him evaluate it. And that's how I make my determination if it's a go or a no-go.
And
I need several experts, I'll bring in several experts.
And does this cost the client? Does it cost the client money out of their pocket?
No, these are all my costs. I absorb all those costs. And if we don't recover anything for the client, then those costs are my responsibility and mine alone. And sometimes it's costly because, the expert may on occasion find that there is no case. Not too often, but it happens.
Well, when somebody comes, when somebody's injured either in a car accident or on the job, because you handle them both.
Yes.
What are something? Just give me a couple idea things that they should not do.
Well, for one thing, they should never talk to the insurance company until they retain a lawyer, and then I of course advise them that I send out my letters of representation to the insurance company. Certainly of the party that is liable for that is negligent in this case, that they are to deal with me and never deal with the injured party. The injured party should never assume that the insurance company is out to help him because that's fallacious. That's just a false situation.
Right.
In reality, it's just not that way. They're out there to save as much money as they can, to pay as little as they can. To an injured party, whether he's injured in a construction accident, whether he's injured in an auto accident, or whether he's injured on the job.
Insurance companies are not your friend, is what you're saying.
No, is what I'm saying, yes. And for an injured party, if he's a worker or whatever, to rely on his employer is a mistake. Absolutely a mistake. I mean, I hate to say that. It would be nice if everybody thought that their employer was going to help them through the process and do as much for the injured worker as he could, but that in reality just doesn't happen.
Michael, how often do you see that where somebody expects that they've been working with a company for, say, 20 years, they get injured on the back, they get injured on the job, they probably choose not to report it, or they do, even if they're really badly hurt, they do the best they can to stick it out because they want to be loyal. And then they're devastated because they don't get the same loyalty back.
It happens all the time. Not 100% of the time, but a significant amount of the time of clients that I have seen over the past 40 years, unfortunately and sadly, but that's the case.
How do you deal with that?
So you need a lawyer to guide you through the process, and that's what I do. What I try to do is if the employer wants to send them to their doctor, I will tell them point blank, I would prefer that you go see my orthopedic specialist.
Sure.
Orthopedic specialist if it's a bone injury, a neurologist if it's a concussion, that sort of thing. So I like them to go to the pain management, such as Dr. Weinman. And by the way, without trying objectively, Dr. Weinman, I've sent many clients to Dr. Weinman for treatment. They all are very, very happy. He's a wonderful pain management doctor. And he has a staff of physicians there that are there to help the client, and they make the client well. And he's concerned about the client's well-being.
Thank you, Mike.
That's
important. He's the best. He really is. He's fantastic.
Well, that's very important because a lot of times, the individuals get that's where their case and potentially their future falls apart by not knowing that you can go to a medical provider, typically at the direction of the attorney, who informs them that there is another option, and that the fact that the panel doctor said they weren't hurt when they clearly are hurt and they're walking around like they don't know what to do. It's extremely important to have those in, Dr. Weinemann.
Yeah. Here's the worst part of it, Joe. Here's the worst part of what I see all the time. Is a person is injured, an employee is injured on the job. He goes to the panel doctors, which are paid by the insurance company, okay?
Right.
And it's a serious injury, but they do a superficial examination and say to him, go back to work. And he goes back to work, and he makes exacerbates his injury. It becomes so much worse than it would have been initially.
Right.
He hurts his back. He doesn't realize he has a herniated disc. He goes back to work. The herniation becomes worse, and now he needs surgery. Where if he wouldn't have had to go back to work after the injury and gotten treatment immediately, that would not have happened.
It, right?
Exactly.
That happens all the time.
Michael, before we go, can you give the listeners your contact information?
Yeah, absolutely. My office is at 1420 Walnut, Suite 300, but my phone number is 215-496-1000. That's 215-496-1000. We have a 24-hour answering service that they'll text message me in an emergency or any situation. And you can go on my website, luberlaw.com. And again, the number is 215-496-1000. And I answer my calls 24/7. Well, maybe not 2 o'clock in the morning, but I try to answer all calls, even after hours.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for being our guest and showing the Delaware Valley why Michael Luber is one of our who's who honorees in 2017 and beyond. And listen, we always appreciate your time, Michael. Thanks so much.
Joe, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your program. I hope to be with you again in the near future. And good luck to all of you.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Michael Luber. We'll be back with Dr. Albert Talone after the break.
Meet the doctors of Weinemann Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talone, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Michael Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinemann, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinemann Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinemann Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinemannPainAndWellness.com. Weinemann Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinemann Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on your walls, doors, windows, or sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. What's more, just 3 granules of lead dust from old paint can poison your child. If your house was built before 1978 and you have kids 6 years old or younger or are pregnant, it's very important to know what to do. There are simple steps you can take to make your kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD for more information. A message from the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, the EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class, while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life, matchingdonors.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Show. We just finished our conversation with attorney Michael Luber of Luber Law. And what a passionate guy, Hamar.
He's like fired up. That's who I want in the courtroom with me.
I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. You know, this guy, you know, he reminds me of somebody that, you know, it's like, you know, horses that are in the gate and they can't wait to get out.
And you can hear him, like his voice, even when he's talking about the opposition and how, you know, all these challenges that he as an attorney has to face for his clients, you could hear his voice and the passion coming out as he speaks.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we're happy about that. And speaking of another expert and somebody who you're always going to be happy when he's in your corner, happy to bring onto the program from Weinemann Pain and Wellness, Dr. Albert Talone. Doc, how are you?
Dr. T.
I'm good, Joe. Hi, Marla. How are you?
Good, Dr. T. How are you today?
Well, I'm here in Center City on the 18th floor, and it's a whiteout.
It is. And you know what's funny?
It's snowing already. I haven't seen it outside
yet. We have. It's funny because we have the blinds closed here. We have no idea what we're going to be walking in out to when we leave here. But with this type of time of year, Doc, you know, people are going through. We've talked about so many different variations of the flu and flu shots and all that. But let's talk about
the untalkable.
The gastro flu, what's it called?
Gastroenteritis, right, Doc? Your topic of the day?
We're almost through the flu season. It's waning. We're not seeing as many cases. We're almost through it. About another week or two, and that should be the end.
But if you're one of the unlucky few that has it,
there's some lingerers out there, but what we're seeing right now is something a little different, and that's been that's always around hand in hand with respiratory flu. Folks call it like the stomach flu, you know, the whoops, you know. It's also basically it's a viral gastroenteritis. You know, some people get it confused with food poisoning or, you know, eating something that wasn't correct for them. But usually people present with constant nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramps, diarrhea.
Sounds like a fun time.
It really is.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. And the thing you have to be concerned about is, especially in young people and the elderly, is they can dehydrate real quick. Loss of fluids is profound. And that's the most important thing you have to do is restore fluid integrity to them. So you got to make sure they can keep fluids down. And you give support care, try to help them with, you know, things that prevent vomiting and nausea you can.
That was actually my next question, Dr. T. A lot of people, there's some controversy whether or not you should take things that stop vomiting, such as Compazine, any antiemetic, as well as, you know, stopping the other end, which is, you know, having diarrhea and things like that, and taking Pepto-Bismol. Do you recommend, what's your take on that? Do you want it to stop, or is the thought process to get it all out, whatever virus it is, let it run its course by itself with no help?
Well, the best thing, like you say, Marley, is to get it out, to get rid of it, and that's what the body does. The body vomiting and diarrhea is trying to eliminate the offending agent in the gastrointestinal tract. The only time you want to intervene is like when a person is becoming weak and dehydrated and, you know, really feels very, very poorly, you know, spikes of temperature or fever. Mm-hmm. You know, hydration is important. And you may want to use something like Pepto-Bismol, the liquid, the tablets, You know,
but later in the course, you're saying, if it really gets worse, just let it be, you know, let it run its natural course.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let it run its natural course. You only interfere if, you know, if the person is not doing well. And, of course, a trip to the hospital or the emergency room, if the person becomes, you know, excessively dry, you know, dark urine, dry tongue, you know, and, you know, the patient's not feeling well at all, getting dizzy, lightheaded, has a spike fever, you might need intravenous fluids and medical intervention if it's really severe.
Well, Doc, let me ask
you. 24, 48 hours, and you're through the woods on that.
I was just going to ask you that, to even touch on what to eat. Yeah, like, can you just break it down on what types of food you recommend? Because it's so hard to stay hydrated if you can't drink or eat. So what types of things do you recommend for patients that, I mean, listen, we've all been there. You know how you feel. You don't even put anything in your mouth.
Well, they have suppositories.
That sounds like fun.
That's a fun weekend, huh?
Americans don't like rectal suppositories. It's funny. Some cultures, such
just Americans.
Yeah. They administer.
I love them.
Suppositories. They take pain medications, anti-inflammatories, all kinds of things. And it's really interesting because it bypasses the stomach, so you don't have to worry about a sensitive stomach. But they have things to stop nausea and vomiting through suppositories. More people like injectables, other than over the counter, rather than, you know, you get an injection and it'll stop the nausea, which is important. You have several agents you can use. But a good one is flat coat. You could try some flat coat. That's usually good. You want to stay away from carbonated beverages and cold beverages, as they will cramp the stomach, and the gas can bloat the stomach and make it worse. So flat coat syrup is good. As long as you're not diabetic, and you know, those type of things, over the counter remedies. Imodium is over the counter remedy you can use for diarrhea and cramps, things of that nature.
Now, Doc, you mentioned, you know, typically lasts 24 to 48 hours.
Right.
And, you know, listen, you gotta just do everything you can to you know, to get yourself through it. But is there any medication? In other words, when you talk about we're talking about the flu here. So, is there medications that can, you know, I guess lighten the blow here?
No, not like in a respiratory flu. We don't have that. We don't have anything for GI bugs and things of that nature, viruses of that nature. We don't have anything like Tamiflu, tame the flu. We don't have anything to tame a GI.
But like you said, and before we go, we got about 30 seconds left. You know, this is something that, you know, we're almost out of flu season. How much longer do we have?
Maybe a week or two at the most. We're done.
All right, Doc. Well, listen.
Now we just got to get through the snowstorm.
Right. We get through. Doc, listen. Thanks so much. It's great to have you back on board, our resident doctor on the program, Dr. Albert Talone of Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Thanks, Doc, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
You're the best, Dr. T.
All right, you've listened to the Pain and Wellness Hour. I'm Joe Doherty with my co-host, Marla Vitarello. We will talk to you next week. Best wishes out to our boy,
Stay
Joe
safe.
Krause. You got it.